You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
To come and save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
We love you, and we are so thankful you've joined us today. Happy birthday to me. We are celebrating my birthday today, and to help us do that is our beloved Dwayne Brayboy. And by special request and popular demand, we are going to have an Indigenous Storytime birthday powwow. Oh, welcome to our show today, Dwayne Brayboy. Thank you for joining us to help me celebrate.
Oh, thank you for inviting me here. Yes, and of course, Thawant Nawant Twa Jahas, and that is how we say happy birthday in Tuscarora.
Beautiful, thank you, Mado. Well, in our family, we celebrate birthdays all month long, and then again on our half birthday later in the year. And this also happens to be Motherhood Month, and Mother's Day is my absolute favorite holiday of all. So we're celebrating a lot today, and I'm so glad you're here to help us do it. And I hope you've got some great stories today.
Yes, indeed. I hope you do, too.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Will you share your story with us?
Of course. Well, the first story I thought to share is Sky Woman, the story of Sky Woman. In our culture, we have this creation story, and Sky Woman and the gifts of the earth is part of that. And so it goes like this. Long ago, before our world was as you see it now, there was only Sky World, a place of light, gardens, and gentle winds. And Sky Woman, she lived there, tending the great beds of flowers and whispering thanks to the Creator for each bloom. One day, a curious wind called her to the edge of Sky World, where she gazed down into the endless waters below. Drawn by wonders, she leaned too far and tumbled through the dark emptiness. As Sky Woman fell, the animals of the watery world saw her falling. Turtle, the great and wise elder, said, "Land on my back." So Sky Woman floated down and aligned on Turtle's shell. She did this, of course, with the help of the birds. They grabbed her and helped her float down onto Turtle's back. But there was no earth. There was only water. Desperate to help, the muskrat dove deep into the water and brought up a bit of soft mud in the hollow of her paws. And with great care, the animals placed it on the turtle's back, and it began to grow. First as a tiny dot, then spreading until Turtle's back became the first island, Turtle Island. And Sky Woman helped this happen because she shuffled her feet from side to side, spreading out that mud across Turtle's back. And as it grew wider and wider, it became Turtle Island. what we call North America today. Sky Woman, she walked upon this new land and wept, for all was empty and quiet. Yet in her sky-woven sash, she had carried two precious gifts, a pouch of bright red strawberry seeds and a small bundle of tobacco wrapped in cedar. And with this, she honored the spirits and renewed the bond between earth and sky. Kneeling in the soft new soil, Sky Woman opened her sash, and with loving hands she scattered the strawberry seeds in a wide circle, each drop glinting like a ruby. Then she planted the tobacco, heart-shaped leaves reaching towards the heavens and sky world. At the breath of her voice, the earth stirred. Tiny sprouts of strawberry curled green tendrils to the air, promising sweet fruit for generations to come. Beside them, the tobacco leaf unfurled, its fragrant stalks standing tall, a living bridge between the people and the ancestors. Seeing her gifts take root, Sky Woman smiled through her tears. She planted one final gift, corn, beans, and squash, what we call the Three Sisters, so that her children would never go hungry. Then, as the sun rose, she returned to Sky World, leaving behind her blessings upon the earth. From that day on, our people have celebrated Sky Woman's love each spring. Strawberries, her first gift, reminded us that sweetness can grow even after a long winter of hardship. And also tobacco, her sacred offering. It teaches us to speak with respect, lifting our prayers like smoke to the sky. Whenever you taste the first strawberry of the season or offer tobacco in ceremony, remember Sky Woman's journey, how her courage and generosity brought life to Turtle Island.
Mado, what a beautiful, radiant story. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Well, I hope you have more stories for us, but I'll give you a chance to take a breath, and I'll tell a story. I was given...
Okay, great.
I was given special spiritual permission to tell this story by my Uncle Jay Red Eagle, and he was my manager for many years. I miss him very much, but he told me I could tell this story at special times. And this is a special time. The story I want to tell you, the way the old ones told it, in the days before, human beings, people, could understand one another. And they could also understand animals. And the animals could understand one another, even different kinds of animals. And they could understand people. And this was a great thing at many times. And people and animals had balance and harmony. Sometimes a hunter had to choose an animal to feed their family or their tribe or their nation. But the animals understood, and that's why certain animals were willing to offer themselves to us. The bison, the wild turkeys. The plants were often willing to offer themselves as well, and so were the fish. There were some animals we never ate, like eagles or hawks. But there were other animals that we had agreements with, and they understood us, and we understood them. And we tried to take care of the forests and the water so that the animals and the plants and the birds would always have some place to live. It was during these times, my Uncle Jay, Red Eagle, told me, that there was a woman a very kind and beautiful woman with a good heart and a good mind. She had a nice husband who was also kind and generous, a warrior, a good provider, a good protector. And they were very happy together. They were very much in love, and they cared about one another very much. Their days were spent in peace and prosperity, and their years in pleasures. But as the years went by, even though they were people of prayer, they were people who danced stomp, helped other people, served other people, and had giveaways and feasts. They had one another, and they had great love, but they had no children. And they were very sad about this. They loved one another very much, so much that the love spilled over into every area of their lives. And they wanted to share it with a child. And so one day, this good and beautiful woman went to the river to pray. And as she made her prayers, she felt peace in her heart. When she returned home from praying, I am told by the old ones, there was a panther in her house. The woman was surprised, but not shocked, because when you pray, you should trust the Creator will give you an answer. And he did. "Well," she said, "aren't you beautiful? You are a very handsome panther cub. Would you like something to eat?" And so she fed the panther and scratched his ears and held the panther cub in her lap. When her husband returned home from hunting and fishing and being with the other warriors to protect the people, he was surprised to see a panther in his wife's arms, wearing a beautiful shirt of patchwork. She had been making shirts and vests of ribbon work and patchwork, hoping for the day when she would have a child to wear them. "Well, aren't you handsome?" said the man. "You are a very good-looking panther." The panther didn't say anything. He just smiled. "Oh, and such nice teeth," said the man. The man and his wife were very, very happy. The panther was very handsome and stunningly well-behaved. And when they took the panther to stomp dance, everyone was very happy for them. They began to teach the panther the good ways and the good mind and the old paths. And people said, "What a happy family. Aren't they a handsome family?" They wore their ribbon work and their patchwork and their moccasins, beaded beautifully. And everyone agreed that indeed they were a very happy family. And they were. Every day, the woman cooked good, nourishing food, and the panther ate very well. And she brushed the panther's fur and held him and kissed him and rocked him. And every day when the husband went out to hunt, to fish, or for things warriors do, he came home and bounced the panther on his knee, showed him how to use a tiny bow and arrow. They were a very happy family. In fact, they were so happy that even more love grew. More love came out of all of them, and they wanted another place to share it. So they went down to the river to pray and asked the Creator for help. And as Creator always does, he answered their prayers. When they returned to their home, there was another panther cub, beautiful panther cub, sitting right in his seat at the table. "Well," said the wife, "this is wonderful." "It is," said the father. "I think it's marvelous." The older panther brother was very happy. He began to purr. Everyone sat down and ate a delicious meal. Sofsky. Bean bread. This is nice, isn't it? Said the father. It's beyond beautiful, said the mother. My prayers have been answered. Mine too, said the father. Mine too, said the oldest panther brother. And soon the happy family went to Stomp Dance, and everyone was pleased to see not one but two panther brothers in this family. They were beautiful and radiant, well-behaved and well-mannered. Everyone was very happy. When they saw the family coming with their beaded moccasins, pucker-toed, and their gorgeous ribbon work and patchwork, they said, "This is a beautiful family, a radiant, lovely family." And everyone gave thanks to God for this beautiful family. Time went on as time is prone to do. Spring, summer, winter, fall, spring, summer, winter, fall, spring, summer, winter, fall, spring, summer, winter, fall. And then one day, the beautiful, wonderful panther family was praying and giving thanks for their beautiful lives and the fun and enjoyment of being together that they had in their lives. And all of a sudden, the oldest panther brother turned to them. And he said, "You are wonderful, mother and father. You are great parents. You are loving and kind and generous, accepting and patient and tolerant. And never once did you ask why we were panthers instead of people. And so you have taken such good care of us that now we will take care of you. We will bless you and we will be good to you and we will do all that you need to be happy and well in life." "Oh," said the mother, "we love you. We loved every minute of it. You are our sons, both of you, our sons, and we love you. We are your parents, and you are the best sons we could have ever hoped for." "Thank you," said the oldest panther brother. "But now that you have taken good care of us, we will take care of you, and you now will take care of your very own set of sons. You will have your own boys." And at that moment, the oldest panther brother and the youngest panther brother leapt into the sky. And to this day, if you go into the night sky, in the forest, if you look with your eyes above the tops of the trees, you can see the two panther brothers in the stars. The mother and the father were dismayed. They did not know what to do. They loved their panther sons, and they were good boys. And so they thanked the Creator for their panther sons in the sky, and comforted themselves by knowing that any time they went out into the woods at night, they could look up into the sky and see the two panthers, the two brothers, among the stars. But it was a long walk back to their home. It felt very long, and it felt very sad, but they made it. And when they came to their door, they opened the door. And in the crib, by their bed, were two gorgeous and sacred baby boys. Beautiful baby boys that looked like their mother and their father. They were five-fingered people. "Oh," they said, "our sons are so handsome. They are so handsome. We have been blessed with two handsome panther sons, and now we have two more." And they were happy, happy, happy. Those boys grew in to people of prayer, prophets, medicine makers, spiritual people who led prayers and called Stomp and were people of goodwill and good faith. They were known everywhere for their warrior spirit, for their courage, for their bravery. But most of all, when they called, the Creator would answer. And those boys, we say, and their mother, were the beginning of the Panther Clan. These wonderful, wonderful Panthers gave us the Panther Clan. And we are so grateful to be part of it. Now that is the story, the way that my Uncle Jay Red Eagle told it to me. And since I belong to the Panther Clan, I love that story. And I'm happy to share it with all of you. Mado.
That is an amazing story to share. The Panther Clan story. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So meaningful, and I know that all of the Panther Clan people must adore that story and
mm-hmm.
cherish it throughout the ages. You know, and you're carrying on that tradition, you know, that it will be preserved. You know, and that's what people like you and I do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you are fulfilling your role within your culture that way, and that is so honorable. I respect that.
I love you for saying that, and I'm so happy that I have Panthers of my own to whom I could tell this story and send them into the future with it.
Indeed you do. Yes.
Well, I hope you have stories that you would like to share with us, because I love your stories, and the lessons in them are so beautiful.
Well, thank you. This is the story about the white dog of the sky. It's an old story, and the white dog has historical significance within my culture, but I will begin this way. Long ago, in a small Tuscarora village at the edge of the great forest, a fierce winter settled in, so cold and dark that even the brightest stars seemed to hide. The people grew weary, and the animals of the woods grew thin and afraid. One moonlit night, a soft glowing shape drifted down through the pine boughs, a dog as white as fresh snow, with eyes like shining stars. A young girl named Yeskenahawi, she carries peace, is what that means, spotted the glowing visitor outside her lodge door. Though her grandmother warned her not to follow spirits, Yeskenahawi felt a gentle kindness in the creature's gaze. Quietly, she stepped into the snow and followed the white dog as it trotted past frozen ponds and whispering pines. Deep in the forest clearing, the dog paused beside a fallen tree trunk. Then something wondrous happened. Where the dog pressed its paw into the snow, tiny green shoots sprang up. And in the fallen log glowed warm and golden. The dog nudged the log, and from its warmth came a breath of spring air. The wind of that breath carried the seeds of corn, beans, and squash back toward the village. Realizing the dog's gift, Yeskenahawi gathered handfuls of these magical seeds and raced home. She woke her grandmother, and together they scattered the seeds in the frozen fields. The next morning, the frost had vanished, and the young green plants peeked through the earth. The whole village celebrated, caring for the three sisters as they thrived. Before dawn, the white dog slipped away, rising through the trees and back into the sky, its coat blending with the stars. But its promise remained. Whenever hearts grow cold or people forget the balance of giving and receiving, a friend from the sky will come to guide them back to kindness and hope. Hanayutnukt. The end.
Mm.
It's a short story.
And it makes me truly hope that you have another story that you can tell.
I have some other stories, ones that I believe you've heard before, but I could retell some of my stories. I was given this honor of being contacted by the Center for Biological Diversity to ask if I would give Tuscarora names to the surviving red wolves in eastern North Carolina. This happened last year, and it was a great honor. It was one I wasn't expecting, to be contacted by this organization that I had heard of before, but had no idea why this organization would be contacting me. And I know they do great work. I've always known that, but I wasn't involved with them. So what did they want from me? So then they asked. They said that we know that the Tuscaroras, Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, is there in Robeson County, and these red wolves, the surviving approximately 20 wolves, the last of their kind on the face of the earth, we would like for them to have Tuscarora names. Are you able or interested in naming these wolves? So my immediate answer was yes. I just knew that this was something that I would definitely want to be a part of. After that initial yes, and after I detached from the email that it arrived in, the inquiry, you know, I began thinking about this. And to be called on to name the last of the red wolves. Well, I shouldn't say the last of them, because the hope is that they will thrive again. I should say the surviving red wolves. So naming them, it's not a gesture, but it's a spiritual act of protection for these wolves. We Tuscarora have lived beside the red wolves for millennia. Since time immemorial, they've been part of our landscape. And so I understood that those names were not labels, they were medicine. I believe, or I like to believe anyhow, that the spiritual power behind those names will echo among the red wolves for hundreds of generations. That is what I hope for, and with the red wolves. But naming in our Tuscarora tradition, it's not a casual act. It's a sacred ceremony. And so when I was asked to name the last surviving red wolves, I didn't just choose words. I chose prayers. I chose roles. I chose relationships. Those red wolves are not just endangered, they're our family. They are kin to the land just like we are, and they're as much a part of this land as the rivers and the trees and the air and everything that makes this land so special. And the names, these red wolves, stories were told about them by the elders long, long ago. And so giving them names in our Tuscarora language was a way to call the ancestors to them, to say to the ancestors, see these surviving beings, you know, protect them, walk with them, help them flourish again, you know, and endure. So each name carries an intention: leadership, stealth, hope, motherhood, protection. I wanted to restore not just their names, but their dignity, to root them again in something older than colonization, something older than captivity, to say, you're not forgotten, you're not alone, you are part of us.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees
fields, they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcast for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
For information on everything, from passports to driver's licenses to local weather, go to firstgov.gov. Firstgov.gov, the official source for federal, state, and local government information.
So, with that in mind, I wrote this funny old story, this children's story about how the wolf turned red. Because, you know, long ago, the red wolf was colored gray, just like their distant cousins, the coyotes. Their color blended with the forest, and it made it easy for them to be able to hide in the wild. This made them proficient hunters because they were the same colors as the forest. The wolves easily hid from rabbits, birds, deer, and other delicious foods. When the wolf is hungry, he is a clever animal, and none of the animal people are able to outsmart him. So then, one hot North Carolina day, a molting turkey was eating muscadines, or fox grapes, at the edge of the forest. Like the Tuscarora, the wolves think the turkey is delicious food. Because it was so hot and turkey had lost so many of her feathers, wolf crept up closer because he was hungry and turkey looked very plump, but pitiful without her feathers for her to fly away. So then, wolf jumped from behind the bush and told her, "You've no feathers to fly away, and now I'm going to eat you." And turkey was scared because she did not have enough feathers to fly far away, and she knew this, but she intended to escape the wolf. So she stood still. And after thinking for a moment, turkey said, "It is true that I can't fly away without my feathers, and surely you will eat me. But before you do, you should give me one last wish." Wolf said, "Well, you didn't run away, so what's your wish?" And turkey replied, "Sing for me. I have heard that your voice is the most beautiful among the animal people, and I would love to hear it." "Oh," wolf replied, and his eyes fluttered, "I have been told this, and so now you will finally hear my beautiful voice." Wolf closed his eyes, lifted his head to the sky, and began to sing a beautiful song that echoed throughout the forest and could be heard very far. As wolf sang, he did not notice that turkey used her sharp talons to climb the tall pine tree that she was standing beside. Laughing as she climbed higher and higher, she did what nobody had ever done before. She tricked the wolf. In an instant, Wolf realized that he was a fool for singing so that his supper could get away. This made him so mad his gall was bursting. He was on fire, he was so mad. First his eyes turned red, Then his head burst into flames, and then his body was on fire for a moment. When the fire went out, the wolf had become red all over, except the tip of his tail had become black. And so, as a reminder to not be vain, when you hear the turkey gobble, it is said that they are still laughing at the red wolf. Hana Yuknukt. The end.
Oh, what a lovely story. Oh, my goodness. And such a joy to hear about the wolves and their naming. What a powerful gift it is to have a name and to be named. And I thank you for all of the people that you have named and all of the wolves and parts of creation that you have given a name, because a name centers you so wonderfully in where you are in the world and beyond. We have a beautiful tradition among our people that happens on your birthday. And one of the great things that happens is that elders, which is not about age, it's about wisdom, knowledge, joy, and their role in the community. So you don't have to be old to be an elder, and every older is not an elder. So I want to use that wisdom to help our younger people to know that. But you are great in your tribe and nation, your language, your prayers, your naming, your work for your tribe has always been a blessing, and I'm so grateful. And so I would love to close our Indigenous story time by humbly asking that you give me a birthday blessing, please.
That is something that I would be honored to do.
Wonderful.
And should I be giving this in the language or
yes,
in English?
The language would be fabulous.
Well, I'll start with the language. And so
always start with the language.
Now, I'll start with Tuscarora, and then from there we can just lapse back into English, or as we say in Tuscarora, Creedrura Geha. I will start with, in the interest of motherhood, and it being Motherhood Month and Mother's Day weekend coming up, the gift, the vocation of motherhood, being your wonderful child, and all the mother's children, you know, the way that they are a gift from Creator. So I could say, Wehrehewe hane yurihuane hagane getna afnakia asatneti. Yagwatrat wiyu harawadiahne. Wehefatnetiad ha heis. Igias tahrek. Disne igiediare dihag. Aguirare, garake, igenorikwak. And that is a short blessing from mother to child. And that would be, it is truly a great importance that you were born here on earth. We are lucky the Creator sent you. I will look after you and teach you, my baby. I will always love you. And so that is a short little prayer, I suppose, for from mother to child. And since this is Motherhood Month and Mother's Day weekend, I think that that is something that is appropriate for all mothers to hear. Because I know this is the way that so many of the mothers regard their children as gifts from creators. That's the way that I suppose all parents should regard their children, their babies. And so then for you, I will say, Garake Ginorikwa Haheith Disna Onahagyawe Yagwate Rutre Gene Ha Hagyawe дійсне. Стакет хагеніки, гаєц, фаскене, гарахке, хагяве, дійсне гарахке, дійсне. Так это ханике. Нагая это сатнарис, ха сауэнт науэ. Я сауэт нэта. Дисне, ватка на хератес, хэ ис. Твэн ха сауэт ауэ. Дисне, ха сати гэхрауэ. Ина рэква на агуфрихвакке, сахрихвакке. And so then, that means, in English, on this day that we are celebrating your birthday, I want to wish you all the happiness in the world, that you're happy today and always, and that I appreciate and respect, I give you my honor, my love, and my respect for your soul, for the gift of your good mind, and for your words, and that you'll always be special to me for this. Hane uch'at. That is
Mado. It. Mado, we love you so much. What a wonderful blessing. Thank you so much. And I love the blessing of motherhood, and I thank you. Mado. We love you, and I thank you so much for celebrating my birthday with me today, Dwayne Brayboy, and all of our friends who listen. We are so grateful to have had this opportunity to celebrate with you, and we love you, we appreciate you, we thank our sponsors, our donors, our platforms, our listeners, our friends, our prayer partners, our prayer warriors, our families and friends and loved ones. We are so very, very grateful. I am grateful, and I thank the Creator. I do. I thank the Lord for everything. And I am always so grateful and thankful for the gift of motherhood and for the gift of life. We love you very much, and of course, you know how we celebrate. When we come back, we're all going to dance.
Thank you. Hey, 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 hey Good stuff. And a very happy birthday to everyone else who's celebrating a birthday today. I know there are a number of people out there. Here's that very special song from Northern Cree to you. May you see many more years to come.
Special birthday shout out to my auntie Doris Omiasu. It's her birthday today. Anybody else want to mention anybody who's celebrating a birthday today, yesterday, tomorrow?
That's my brother Boss on May 3rd. It's his birthday on Monday.
Boss McGilvery, Northern Cree member. Happy birthday. It's his birthday Monday.
Anyone else?
Hookah.
If it's your special day, this birthday song for you, too.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave
you. You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.